We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So tell us your vices at 913-576-7610. 13 Diet Cokes and 107 degrees. This doesn't sound like a rehabilitation. Plus physical exertion.
Right.
I mean, he's doing exercise.
Right. He's sweating. He's dehydrated. He had to walk 18 holes in 107 degrees. He's not drinking any water, no Gatorade. It's just pounding cigarettes and pop.
I think at my peak, I was probably up to like a six pack a day, and I was like, okay, this is enough's enough. Like,
there was a point where I was pretty much killing a 2 liter with no problem, and then maybe a couple more on top of that. You know, like when you go to Quick Trip, you get the large.
It's hard,
and then you get the 1 liter to refill it. You know, after you kill that first one.
So you'd buy the fountain drink with the accompanying 2 liter?
No, the 1 liter, not the two
oh,
liter.
Oh, 2 liter, okay.
The 1 liter, because, you know, that first fountain drink, you know, with the ice is cold and it's going to go quick.
Right.
And you want to capitalize on the great ice that you just got from QT, so, you know, you had that backup, so yeah.
And it's just difficult, too, because they all have, like, great prices in the summer.
Oh, yeah, come get it for a dollar.
Yeah, or like
you fill up 56 ounces like of pop for a dollar.
69-cent ones, nice. Like, how are you going to turn that down? You know what I mean?
Can't do it.
And then I was then for a while I was down to, like, I was like one orange kick. I'd have my orange kickstart
right
in the morning, and I don't drink coffee, so that was my coffee substitute. And then I'm not even joking, Dub. They're in the supply chain right now.
Yeah. All right? The energy, like AMP is, because it's part of Mountain Dew as well.
So I couldn't get my Amazon subscription of Kickstart. So I'm like, all right, that's when I decided. I'm like, all right, let's just see if I can let's just cut it out here. And so now I'm going on a couple weeks here, and I'm like, okay, I can probably cut it out. Just drinking a lot of lemonade and, you know, water with, like, sugar-free lemonade in it. And
right.
It's fine.
So yeah, it was
sometimes there are a few days though where I think you need the jump start.
It's like 2 weeks where AMP was unavailable as well. So, you know, you go to any of the convenience stores, you know, they're all gone. And so I had resorted to getting them on Amazon as well, and I got the 3 weeks behind. I'm like, come on, are you serious?
They're actually helping you out. I think they're helping you out. So supply chain, thumbs up to supply chain, because it's kicked me off for a while. And then for some reason, I don't know. If I'm either the only one that drinks the orange, or there's been a run on the orange, whatever, because you can go to, like, the stores and they'll have it, but just in the other flavors.
Right.
And not orange. So I'm like, well, orange is my favorite. I could have these other ones, but do I really need this? And so I stay away from, I haven't roller dogged, and I haven't. And they stay away from the, because if you roller dog,
you got to get the accompanying bag
get
of chips,
the ice and whatever.
Get
and
the
then,
drink.
And then also the upsize there has been a tremendous revelation as well, because I have contended that the one that used to be the 32 ounce is no longer 32 ounces.
No.
I haven't measured it specifically, but I'm guessing it's probably closer to 28.
Right.
And so you automatically now go for the bigger one. You're like, no, this is
Give me the large styrofoam, and
so let's
go.
It's tough. So if you're weaning yourself off soda, I get it, because it's
difficult.
It's not the easy things. Someone says, I used to know a guy who would have a case of Mountain Dew a day.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a case?
That is crazy. That dude's bouncing off the walls. How's his kidneys today?
It says eight times Monster Zeros and a pack and a half of smokes daily. Someone's on right now. My goodness.
Eight monsters a day? Now, Bink, at your highest point with the bangs, how many bangs could you bang a day?
How many times did you bang a day?
I did, if I was doing like morning plus night, something like that, four of them, or I'd go at least do three on a Chiefs post game, like a long, because you get the game, then you got Mitch and you cling afterwards.
So you bang three times during a Chiefs game?
I've done it three times, and then, within a 24-hour period, because the one time I came right in with you in the morning, like after the post, so it was like probably six within a 24-hour span.
Oh, jeez. Someone else says, I haven't had a soda in 11 years. I'm proud of you people. That's tough.
I applaud you.
They're good.
11 years?
They're good.
Not even good. At a cookout, the barbecue, you get that ice cold Dr. Pepper that's at the bottom with all the ice on top of it. You know, you got your ribs, you got your baked beans, you got your ice cold Dr. Pepper with some Jeezy Gore, some Bernie.
Someone says, dang, I'm on a diet. I live next to a QT. You're all making it hard. I love their sausage square wraps. I know.
Yes, especially when they got the cheese right on the sausage square wraps. Yeah, very nice.
I know. Well, I got to try.
Speed up, summer shape. Come on, we got this.
Guys need to try Celsius, someone says. It's a lot healthier, and the orange tastes very similar to the Kickstart. All right.
But does it have the caffeine? That's what we need. That alarm clock goes off at 3:15.
I know.
I'm in the dark trying not to wake up my wife unsuccessfully every freaking morning. At this point, I might as well just turn on the damn light and say, guess what, babe? Give me about 45 minutes.
I like this one, too. In junior high, I'd have a 2-liter and a bag of chips every day during the summer. Yeah, we all did.
Yeah.
It's when it starts to catch up with you that's the problem.
When the metabolism stops metabolizing.
Yeah. Oh, good grief. Yeah. Yeah. No, I was the king. I could go and have a supersized McDonald's meal and then go play.
You know, and be good.
Like, yeah.
You're chucking up threes from the corner.
Yeah, and like in high school, I'm like, yeah, no problem. I got a soccer game, sure. I got to stop by McDonald's first, load up. I can't do that anymore.
I need the supersize.
All I want some caffeine, man. Just give me some caffeine, any caffeine.
Need a large Dr. Pepper, please.
Thank you for saying soda, not pop. I'm a pop person, but I know this is more of a soda country. No, I usually say pop.
Not around here, it's pop.
I usually say pop.
Over in St. Louis, it's soda, but here it's pop.
Yeah, I don't know. Someone else says it is soda country, but I say pop.
It's not soda country here.
This orange Kickstart supply chain issue hits a little too close to home. Someone else said, I know. That's why I've cut it out completely. Someone says still the 10 for 10 at Hy-Vee. Yeah, it's sometimes there for that. I'll sometimes do that, but you do feel a little shame in putting 10 cans singularly in your cart. You know what I mean? Like when you're clearing the rack and putting
these are mine.
There is some shame to that, so that helps curtail it as well.
Nothing to see here. 10 for 10. Nothing to see here.
Nothing.
I got kids at home.
Yeah, nothing.
Leave me alone.
No 10 for 10s. No 10 for 10s.
PW sounds like James Earl Jones. Take that as a compliment. Yeah. PW.
Quark, I am your father.
Amino Energy, best energy drink out there. Tastes great and caffeine is plant-based.
Really?
Huh.
I have to try that one now.
I don't know.
They sell that at the QT.
There was this stuff at the gym I used to try, and it was like more hardcore than Bang. I forgot what the name it was, but it was good. Real good.
I tried this. My trainer, Joel, had me try this Ghost energy drink because I used the Ghost BCAAs for the amino acids in my water, and he was like, yeah, they got an energy drink out. And I tried it, and I was like, man, it tastes like trash. I don't want that.
No, I found one, too. It was the additive, like you poured in, like I do my little sugar-free lemonades.
Right.
But it's like this one has caffeine, and it's like a great such. It was terrible.
Yeah, I need flavor.
Yeah. Does it keep you awake? Does it keep you awake because it tastes so bad?
Right, because the Mountain Dew Amp has the lime type / Mountain Dew / flavor, and it's got the great... Got the great caffeine and just put damn things in stock. Me and Kling are suffering over here.
Someone wants to know, Bank, if the bangs were
bang
not good for you ultimately in your health.
No, that wasn't. It didn't help. We put it there. It didn't help.
But
I'm not gonna blame it on that. But it didn't help. It was.
But now you've cut
them
out.
That was kind of a genetically induced thing.
You've cut them out of your regimen, though.
I have. Yeah. Had to cut those and pop and everything else.
You're lemonading now.
I still have a few beers, so I maybe pushed my limit last week. But yeah, I have lemonades.
Well, of course. Let's not get crazy here. Let's not get rash. I'd much rather cut.
I told her, too. I said, I do a beer show on Friday nights. How am I supposed to do that if I can't drink beer?
Cut the pop out if I can have the occasional beer. So, Arrowhead Pride put up a poll yesterday that was maybe as close to a runaway as they have in quite some time. But I guess it falls right in line with where my thinking has been. Which Chiefs position concerns you the most? An edge rusher ran away with it with 81.5% of the vote. Followed up by corner, which was about 11%. Other, we still don't know what other was.
I still definitely want to know what other is.
Long snapper or
like
something.
Shouldn't write him in or something.
So other at 4%, and then right tackle at 3.7%. But 81.4% went with edge rusher, which is still where I'm at. I think the Chiefs should be in a position where you go and get a veteran mercenary for a year. It's Jadeveon Clowney, or it's hoping Trey Flowers stays healthy, which just feels like a bad investment. A couple of these other guys coming off of injuries that I just feel like they need to be in the flyer category for a veteran here before the season starts.
Such a premium position. It just shows you this year's free agent market when it came to edge rushers just wasn't there. I think what Melvin Ingram was like before the season, they, you know, ranked the free agents. Melvin Ingram was like sixth. Justin Houston was like eighth. That just shows you kind of where we sit with edge rushers that were available. Unless you're making a move on Chandler Jones or trying to get a deal swung
for somebody else's guy.
Khalil Mack. Which Chiefs might do too. I mean, if this doesn't work out, the Frank Clark deal could be another deal like the Frank Clark deal next year for the Chiefs. Because one thing about edge rushers, like, I think you can draft all the other positions. You can certainly draft edge, but you got to be drafting high. And I know the Chiefs got Kurloft as a 30, which, hey, T.J. Watt was a 30th overall pick. But this year, Joey didn't have those edges to trade up for, like in previous years, the premium positions. But it's becoming a premium deal. And I know that the quarterbacks, you know, everybody talking about the third-round quarterbacks this year and, you know, the one in the first round. Well, edge was kind of the same way. I mean, there was like a – we're hitting like a dry spell in the great edge rushers. So it's not like they were plentiful to go grab. Mm-hmm. They've kind of, you know, hit this lull like the team that are looking for quarterbacks. Because there's teams looking for quarterbacks because this year wasn't the answer at the quarterback position. But I think edge is kind of hitting that stall too. It'll change, but I think it's definitely hit that wall right now for this year.
I wish they could have got one more in the draft. And certainly it's maybe a little bit revisionist without Melvin Ingram, but certainly without Melvin Ingram.
But it's a roll of the dice past the first round.
Right. Yep. Without Melvin Ingram, my heart of hearts wish they grabbed one more defensive end. I wasn't really upset about the ones if it's believed they missed out on it. They didn't miss out on anybody this year, I don't think.
Unless it was Jermaine Johnson. I mean, that's the one.
That might be the one.
That might. Okay. I don't think it's going to be, because I think Kurloft is going to be better than him.
But I meant the veterans.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
Like the veterans. Like it wasn't Khalil Mack didn't do anything for me. Chandler Jones, I probably could have been talked into. But
Von Miller.
No. I think vastly overpaid for Von Miller. I think that was a tremendously bad contract. Now it may work out in the short term for them, but. I don't understand all the years and all the dollars.
Let's see what's going to the Super Bowl, you know?
It's crazy, yeah. I guess if they win the Super Bowl, they won't care about spending bad money. So I don't feel like that they whiffed. I just wish they would have been able to address it a little bit better in the offseason. I wish Melvin Ingram was going to be a Chief. I think that would have been another nice stopgap for one more year, but it's still going to be on their plate again next year. Could be the very same wish list next year, Bank. Defensive end and wide receiver. May still be on next year's needs list as well for this Chiefs.
Except
team.
For corner, because I think corner was in the top three needs. Mm-hmm. So that one was checked off that one. But edge and wide receiver could still be there. I don't know. Maybe they work a deal out with Juju. I don't know what Juju's doing because this is the second straight year he's done one-year contracts. Is he trying to be the Darrell Revis of the wide receivers? I don't know. But or is he waiting for the long term? Because here's one thing about Juju. Didn't he not see these contracts with these other receivers thinking, why the hell did I sign for 1 year? Like, we see what Christian Kirk got and all that, and you're Juju. Like, eventually you're going to be past an age where people are like, yeah, I'm not giving you this long-term deal.
I don't know what he is. I don't know what he is now.
Well, I know he's hurt last year, but.
But if he has a bounce-back season, yeah, he's going to put himself in line to, and then you're probably not going to be in camp for that.
No, because
right?
He's going to, because he's got one chance. He's got one chance to get that mega deal, and I don't think the mega deal's here.
It didn't take long, meanwhile, but the arms race caught up to the Chiefs. We'll discuss next.
You're listening to the home of What We Learned with Billy Coons.
Legend Ball, he's an expert on the city of St. Louis, but he says the people are rude and hateful and they suck.
Fridays at 9:50 on Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967 on 610 Sports Radio.
I want you to come hang out with us and watch the Royals of the K take on the Blue Jays, courtesy of Boulevard, Wednesday, June the 8th. We're going to have a section out at the K. You can join us, all the personalities from 610 Sports Radio, and sit and watch the game. All you have to do is stop by one of the participating locations. The full list is at 610sports.com, right there on the front page or in the contest section. You just need to stop by Brewtop Pub and Patio, International Tap House, Nick and Jake's, The Peanut, Tanner's Bar and Grill, and more. Check out the full list again at 610sports.com. Look for the Boulevard Wheat sign, scan the QR code, and you're going to have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Royals and Jays on June the 8th. Must be 21 to enter. I believe Cody and Gold and The Drive still have tickets to give away for this as well throughout the week, but stop by one of the participating locations, find the Boulevard Wheat sign, scan the QR code for a chance to win. Come hang at the game with us on June the 8th. Must be 21 to enter and win. Boulevard Unfiltered Wheat, fresh look, same great taste. I feel like, Bink, 2 years ago, like the Chiefs were kind of ahead of the curve. They were ahead of the pace. You had Patrick Mahomes. You had Hill and Kelsey going. We had the embarrassment of riches by adding a running back to this offense, and they were kind of like the kings of offense. But stuff's caught them pretty quickly in football terms. NFL.com ranked its. They used their computers. They ranked their top offenses in 2022. And the Chiefs came in at number 6, which is fine. You can debate that might be, you know, that might be too low. You might be mad. Okay, they have the Chiefs 6. But bottom line is they play the 5 teams that are ranked in front of them this season in terms of offense. One of them twice being the Chargers. But their schedule includes basically the arms race of offense. The Bills, who they had ranked number 1, the Chargers, Cincinnati, who they project is going to be better than a year ago offensively, and I think you're in that camp as well. They're going to be better offensively. The Buccaneers and the Rams. So how quickly not only teams have caught them but surpassed them, and then they've got a bunch of these on their schedule this year.
They play all but like 4 legitimate quarterbacks this year. Like 13 games against great quarterbacks and 4 non-elite quarterbacks. I mean, it's unbelievable what they think. I think the offense is going to look different. I mean, last year people were really critical on the offense as well, even though it was a top 4 offense. And then you look at the end of the year and, oh, the Chiefs averaged more points than any team in the NFL in points per drive. So they maximized it. They found a way to start beating the cover too. And they changed who and what they are. They've seen everything. There's like nothing else you can throw at them. Last year, you know, teams are throwing things at them that it took a while to adjust to, and then they finally made the adjustment. They got to be scarier now offensively than they ever have been because they've seen everything. Like, there's literally nothing you can throw at them that they haven't already seen. When you've been that good for this long and you've been the four straight AFC title games, teams are going to try everything they can to stop you. And they're going to see what everybody else did to slow you down and what it do. And then you keep making it almost to the Super Bowl or in the Super Bowl, like two in the last 3 years. And you're thinking, okay, how do we stop them? They haven't seen anything they haven't seen. And I think it makes them better. I do. It doesn't kill you. It makes you stronger. I think that the fact the Chiefs have seen everything else and they've got an offense that's just different receivers. It's more of a screen game set up with who they have. They still can go down the field with Sky Moore and MVS, but it's a different looking team offensively. And I think that'll throw defenses off more than anything is because I think Andy Reid, he's got that gleam in his eye. He's looking forward to seeing what he can put together. Because you see, hear him talking about all his little weapons he's got here, seeing what he can do with this group of guys when he plays them. But to me, they're even more of an unpredictable thing for the defenses because you don't know what to expect. Teams knew what the Chiefs were. This year, I don't think they know what they are.
Now, I think the beginning of the season, you guard the heck out of Kelsey.
Yeah, it's right. The number one target right? With the bullet.
So teams are going to focus a lot on Kelsey. And then, hey, you're going to have the opportunity to free up other avenues and go different directions to start the year. I'm looking forward to where this offense lands. I don't know. Like, is six too low? Maybe.
I would take six.
Mahomes, but six feels about right because there are a lot of
I'd take 14th in defense.
Unknowns in the receiver class right now. But there are a bunch of teams ahead of them that I think we know can play offense. I think you're probably figuring the Rams, even without OBJ, are going to put up numbers. Tampa Bay is going to put up numbers. The Chargers will put up numbers, but will they win games is a legitimate question. Cincinnati's offense, well, we know. We've seen them on a couple occasions late in the season last year, how good that offense can be. And then, yeah, there's nothing that says the Bills are going to slow down. If nothing else, they may have gotten a little bit better as well at the wide receiver position. Obviously, getting the deal done with Diggs, but also kind of shoring up their slot receiver game. So they're gonna have to prove it. And you can't get in too many score fests because a lot of these offenses can score right with you anymore.
And here's the one thing. The biggest loss to any of these units throughout the offseason is Brian Daboll.
Mm-hmm.
That goes to the Giants. I mean, people are kind of poo-pooing that.
I'm curious
the guy that got the most out of Josh Allen.
I'm curious to see how that plays out.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of the guy that worked. I know he was a failure when he was here, but he's gotten, you know, clearly a lot better since then. But, you know, because it's not Sean McDermott doing that offense. You know, that's Brian Daboll. You know, you lose him. Like, if the Chiefs lost Eric Bieniemy, like, all right, big deal. Andy Reid's still here. It's what matters. But I'm curious with the Bills because they did lose the kind of the architect of that offense. If we can really say, oh, it's not going to skip a beat. Brian Daboll is really important to that offense. That's why he's head coaching the NFL now.
Yeah, I don't think it's a given either that they get out of the blocks fast. Now maybe they figure it out. Maybe you have the quarterback much like the Chiefs do, where you have confidence that you could make any offense work with the quarterback in place. They're probably in that same camp where it's like, well, this guy's been in the system. He's the quarterback guy. It's going to be a natural selection. I can understand how if you're in Buffalo, you're talking yourself into this is just an ascension of a guy who's already been in the system. It'll be fine. It'll keep going.
Well, McDermott's a defensive guy.
But I think it's a valid question. The impact of Daboll kind of helping Josh Allen progress and then obviously calling the offense.
McDermott's cut his teeth to being a defensive coordinator, defensive coach. I mean, that's not him with the offense. I mean, it's not him. It's not what he does.
So of the top, they ranked the top 11 offenses in the NFL, did NFL.com. Behind the Chiefs are the Packers, who are only on the preseason schedule. The Cowboys, the Saints, the Vikings, and the Dolphins did get the Tyreek Hill bump, and they had them at number 11. But you're facing the top, not the bottom of that group, and five teams in front of you. You're facing a total of six times with two of them involving the Chargers. So certainly there's a lot of offense ahead.
Defensive backs.
Yeah, yeah. That's why they shored up on the secondary. They saw the schedule coming too. That's where you're going with that one. One guy on offense, what I think is intriguing, I'm firmly in the pump the brakes category with this guy, and let's not get out there too far. But Justin Ross out of Clemson went undrafted. Chiefs picked him up in the undrafted a couple years ago. Very, very solid. Had an unprecedented spine back thing that we don't know how that's going to translate. If it's something you can actually play with moving forward in the NFL. He also dealt with a foot injury last year. But it was revealed this week by Dabo Swinney that only four teams had him medically cleared. Presuming the Chiefs were one of them, right?
So three others.
And only four. Now, I do trust the Chiefs medical department. I mean, Trey Smith wasn't on a lot of people's boards last year because of medicals.
He was similar. I would like to know his team list because not many of them
and
had
him. Couldn't have been many on that list either. And the Chiefs just said, we'll handle it. It'll be fine. We'll look at it. We'll take care of it. We'll come up with a plan. It'll be fine. No issues, right? This one's obviously a completely different medical issue, but I do trust the Chiefs medical staff to say, well, we can put someone on a plan to make this work. I'm intrigued by the selection, but I'm not counting on it. If he were to make the roster, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, this screams practice squad on. It's kind of a safe practice squad guy, too, because not a bunch of teams are going to jump up and grab him and put him on their 53, because that's what they'd have to do if four teams had him cleared, unless they trust the Chiefs and, you know, Rick Burkholder and say, well, he's not going to, you know, make the Chiefs. And you can protect up to four guys every week on the practice squad, but it's the most hyped up, you know, undrafted free agent we've seen in a long time. It's going to be a camp guy. I'd say go up there and watch Sky Moore, man. You can go watch. Watch what he's going to do. Justin Ross, to me, is a benefit. If he works out, that's awesome. I mean, that's great. The fact is, Chiefs have done great with undrafted free agents. But, I mean, there's another guy that excites me more than him, Jerrion Ealy, the running back out of Ole Miss, excites me more as an undrafted free agent than Justin Ross. But you get what you get. I mean, if Justin Ross works out, that's great. Undrafted free agent, you took a chance on him, and you got a diamond in the rough that nobody else took a chance on. And if he doesn't work out, you're not at anything because it was an undrafted free agent. Like, this is a win-win for the Chiefs. 100% win. No one's expecting it either. Like, if he doesn't work out, people are like, eh, Justin Ross didn't work. He wasn't a draft pick. Now, if he's a draft pick, people say, eh, they wasted a draft pick, but can't do that with him.
Now, what should the win-win expectation level, though, be? Because I think I've already seen, I mean, I know right when he was picked up, there was a lot of, as you said, a lot of hype, but I don't think you should have any expectation for it. I think if there's something at the tail end of it, great and fine, but don't be counting on it, right?
Yeah, I'm rooting for the guy. Hope he makes the team. You know, I want to see him do well. Dude's got a ton of potential. We know that. Can he put it together? Obviously, you know, a lot of teams are worried about him. It doesn't mean anything because a lot of teams are worried about Trey Smith, and he worked out just fine. Actually, better than fine for the Chiefs. So, yeah, I'm hoping for Justin Ross, but I'm excited about, you know, Sky Moore. And, you know, there's a lot of guys to get excited about on this team. Karloftis, go and see him. Trey McDuffie. I mean, there's some Chenault. There's some draft picks. St. Joe's going to be fun this year. Let me put it this way. Because usually when you go to St. Joe, maybe one guy you're looking to see. There's like everybody. Like this draft class, I think you're going to have a lot of fun watching it up at camp this year.
You're pretty high on Chenault.
I am. I just like how many sacks he gets from the inside linebacker position.
Does that help ease the maybe being a little bit more light on the defensive end category, if you can get it, maybe a situational guy that can go and get after the quarterback a little bit?
Kind of falls in that category, more than one way to skin a cat, more than one way to get the quarterback. And it's what Spags did. I remember a couple years ago when Latarius Steens was blitzing all the time, you know, for the nickel and got a couple sacks and barely missed a few other ones. But Tyrann Mathieu, you know, has more quarterback blitzes than any defensive guy since he came in the league. Chiefs were, you know, bringing him all the time. Brian Cook's a guy they can do that with from the secondary. Sneed's back there again. You know, maybe seeing Sneed on this. Leo Chenault from the inside. Chris Jones at inside pass rush. I think the Chiefs' inside pass rush pretty good. We'll see about Chenault, how many times he's out there, first down or second down. But he can blitz from the middle, and he proved it. He had a higher quarterback pressure rate at Wisconsin than T.J. Watt, and he played inside linebacker. And he led Wisconsin in sacks the last 2 years, had eight last year from inside linebacker position. That's unheard of. Like, that is an unheard of number. You don't see inside linebackers with that kind of quarterback sack number. So, yeah, I mean, they have different ways than necessarily just the edge. They're finding different ways and more resourceful ways to get to the quarterback, I think.
Jay Binkley in with me, Josh Klingler today on Fesco in the Morning, a Thursday edition. Brian Williams, B-Dub, our producer and musical director today. This is a strange story from the world of baseball. Pitcher Zach Davies is getting a divorce. His wife is divorcing him after she hasn't heard from him for a year.
What? So he got ghost?
She claims he sent a 6 a.m. text one morning in 2021 and said, we're done. And hasn't talked to her since. Hasn't sent a lawyer, erased everything from social media, hasn't acknowledged anything about her. She says in an Instagram post, he sent me a text message at 6 a.m. in the morning and then blocked me. I spent 10 years supporting and loving this man. I made his dream my own for him to ghost his wife, leave his dogs, and then have me find out about his affair through word of mouth. Zach took the easy way out. He doesn't have to be held accountable for his actions. He has the luxury of pretending our life never existed. He has chosen to stay silent. So she took a picture of herself going in and filing for divorce. That's a pretty ultimate ghosting. Here's a 6 a.m. text, and a year later, you haven't even followed it up. No discussion, nothing. She was kind of like, excuse me?
A weird deal, man.
So far, he has not spoken, but he hasn't posted on Instagram or Twitter since 2020 when he was a member of the Padres. His final Instagram post was with her at that point in time, but hasn't posted since. And apparently not only not doing social media, but not texting his wife, nor being able to receive texts from her. Gone. So best of luck to the former Mrs. Davies. You're probably better off without him, one. And two, how does someone in the public profile just like ghost somebody? You can see it on the reverse side. This guy's the public figure. No one had heard of her before. He's like, hasn't talked to her, hasn't texted, nothing in
so
a year.
Awesome. It's so awesome.
Crazy. So weird, man.
Very, very strange.
Jimmy Hollycourt, 55377. Hello, it's Daddy. Hey, darling, put Mommy on the phone. Yeah, Barbara, it's Richie. Yeah, look, I ain't never coming home no more. Take it easy.
Something like that. It wasn't even that.
6 a.m. text and block and I'm
done.
Out.
Out. Gone.
Oh, that is hilarious.
So the Pac-12 is up first, meaning that everybody else will be falling in line as well. They've decided to scrap divisions in college football, Binkley, and essentially not worry about, you know, East or West or anything, that the top two teams are going to be the top two teams and they'll play for the football championship. So, hey, I guess the Big 12 was finally ahead of the curve on somebody. Everybody's following the Big 12 model now, which is, well, they get to play everybody because they didn't have enough teams. But they scrapped divisions and then just played head-to-head and the top two teams would play in the championship game. So I guess the Big 12 were trendsetters in all of this. After all,
because they didn't have any teams.
Oh, that was why. Oh, I totally misunderstood that one. So now the Pac-12 is going to eliminate the divisions. And I thought on the surface, I'm like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Let's have the two best teams every year play one another and have the leagues, I guess they could determine tiebreakers and what have you. But then I didn't think about it like this. Teams that are kind of Cinderellas by winning their division no longer will be able to do that. Stuart Mandel of Sports Illustrated, The Athletic now, posted this. He said, schools that have reached a Power 5 championship game that probably never will once they scrap divisions. And he's got a list of schools. A Duke, Virginia, South Carolina, Northwestern, Arizona, Colorado, and Missouri. That they scrap divisions, what's the likelihood you could have that season like Mizzou had when they joined the SEC and their side was a little bit weaker and they got themselves the championship game? Those days would be no more if power's all on one side of what was on one side of a division before. They would be the two teams that would go to a championship game. And you might not have those kind of Cinderella moments like a Mizzou getting to the SEC title game.
Texas better hope the SEC didn't do this.
Oh, Texas? Yeah.
I don't even see them win a division.
Right, but I don't see them win a division.
But you got to take everybody and say, put out Alabama win it every year. I mean, they just will. In a few years, LSU will sneak up and win it or whatever. But I like divisions. I've always liked divisions. I don't know about you, but
old school like.
I like when we have more teams than 10, but you know, if you're up to 12 to 16 teams, I like having the two divisions. I think that makes it fun every year. Like the teams in your division play those crossover games, and you know, you always know who's in your division. I just like the way it does. I like the Big Ten divisions. I've just always been a fan of the divisions.
And I think you'll see it in other conferences too. I'm kind of surprised the conference members would all vote for this because I think schools like that know they're going to get squeezed. Heck, Big Ten, my team, the Big Ten, Iowa, I could say maybe they don't make the Big Ten title game again. Maybe they're at best the third best team on a given year, not in the top two.
More teams have a chance when you have divisions.
Maybe Ohio State is one. You have your rotating two. It's a Wisconsin. It's a Michigan. Yeah. It's a Penn State. It's a whatever. And my team never gets back to that game. Yeah. Again, but you have seen other conference games though where the divisions come and it's very lopsided when they do get there. But I do like the fact that it does seemingly give more teams a chance to get in this. I'm kind of surprised that conferences wouldn't be a little more selfish internally, like school by school, and go, yeah, what are our chances if we do this that we finish in the top two every year? Probably not great.
Yeah.
So I'm almost surprised they're going this direction.
Yeah, just more teams think they have a chance. That's good. That's why baseball expanded their playoffs. When you give more teams a chance to do things.
Turns out to be a little fun.
That's why I like Cincinnati making the college football playoffs this year. Give more teams a chance to do things when they typically haven't.
The Royals feel your pain. Not sure they're going to be able to do anything about it when it comes to TV. Next.
This is Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. 610 Sports Radio, your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City.
Check it out now.
Swing and a high drive, center field. Robert going back, still going back, and there it is, his first American League home run. Bobby Witt Jr. gives the Royals a 2-1 lead.
I didn't know we were breaking it down like that.
I mean, is that part of the splits now?
I don't.
American League, National League, home run. What is?
I guess. Okay. Last night here on 610 Sports Radio, it does stink that we've gotten to this point of the season where it's like, what are the kids doing? But you're kind of at that point of the season. And won back-to-back games, yes, but they're just not winning baseball games, right? And so
beating the White Sox.
Yeah, though. Yeah, they're good. They are good against the White Sox today. The rubber game of the 5-game set.
5 games,
but it's gotten to that point already where it's about the kids, right? Well, at least Bobby Witt Jr. is now starting to show some power, and he's playing shortstop. Cool. Did take a salvy injury to get full-scale MJ Melendez. He was getting in anyway, but not that I want Salvy to be out, but now you at least get a full-scale look at Melendez.
Play at the plate, and a drive off the bat of Melendez into deep left center field, and gone. Not one, but two insurance runs. And MJ Melendez with his second home run in as many nights.
Denny Matthews last night right here on 610 Sports Radio, and so I don't like this time of the season, Bank, but it's this time of the season where it's like find a little bright spot here and there to keep you hooked, and the bright spot might be the kid mashers.
I think it's fun, man, because this is what it's all about. This is what all the attention was on last year. It wasn't on the team that was here in Kansas City.
He was watching highlights from the minor
Omaha.
Leagues.
He was watching Twitter with the Omaha bombs from Witt and Melendez and Prado, and it was about the youngest. It reminds me, honestly, back in, was it 09, 10, something like that, when the Duffy and Hosmer and Perez and all those guys were in the minors, and they were slowly coming up here. But all the attention wasn't on the Royals that were here. All the attention was on the minor leagues and what the Royals minor leaguers was doing, because that's where all the talent was. And last year reminded me of that with Witt, Melendez, and Prado. People were so excited to see those guys, and they've been screaming for them this year. It's like screaming for the youth to finally be up at Kansas City. And, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. makes the opening day roster, slow start, but again, home runs are going to come like water for him now. He's already number two in the Kansas City Royals in home runs. Melendez, now that he went yard, this guy's going to continue to do it. He went oppo yesterday. He had 41 last year in minor league baseball. But this is fun, though. When you see Witt and Melendez like high-fiving each other in the dugout after a home run, that's what it's all about. That's what you've waited for. You've waited for the Witt and Melendez connection. And Prado's not here yet, and Pascatino, they'll eventually be here. But that's the core. That's the fun. The youth is the fun when it comes to the Royals. But seeing last night, it was like the perfect culmination. I mean, they're out there beating Lucas Giolito. You got Melendez going yard, Bobby Witt Jr. Like, there's nothing more exciting than seeing the youth, you know, star. And then, you know, at the end of the game, the Gatorade Bass going to, you know, Bobby Witt Jr. You know, the future's here, and there are things to look forward to, especially when they're giving the young guys a chance to play.
I just do want it to be about wins, though. I mean, I can't. It still has me down.
But I think they help you get the wins. Like, that's the thing.
I hope.
Not only are you getting the youth, but that's what helps you win.
I hope. Because I don't want it to be just about the singular moments of young players and giving you a little bit of a flash of what may be to come.
But that's what 11 and 12 was in Kansas City. It was about bringing the Hosmers up and guys like that. And they could struggle because the team wouldn't do anything. They could struggle. And then by the time I got 14 and 15, 16.
You're more optimistic. You're in a more optimistic window than I am, because I've been looking at 18, 19, 20, 21.
But now, when guys got called up here, they were expected to perform right now. It's like the Chiefs. When they draft the player, you're supposed to win now. It's not like you're drafted by the
these guys were
the Jets
supposed to
and
come.
Develop.
And these guys were supposed to come, though, and fit into what was already going on this particular go-around.
But I feel
it's
the
not
youth
happening.
Helps them actually win. Like, the excitement they bring, you know, the way they play the game, I think that actually helps them get wins. You know, that's not the Santanas and guys like that. It's the Bobby Witt Juniors, MJ Melendez, hell, even Kyle Isbell. It's about giving those guys a chance.
They are a little bit more fun to watch, for sure. Santana's the next one. Everybody wants him to go. Vinny Pasquantino's hitting, what,
250? 30 RBI, though.
But he's got 30 knocked in and 8 home runs. And it's like, oh, I'd rather see
that.
But
MJ wasn't hitting down there either.
He was not.
No, so.
He was
always that.
Yeah. But also, he was thrust into a more starring role now with Salvi out for 10 games, too, right? So you get a chance to see him behind the dish a lot more as well. So there's those singular moments. They've won now back-to-back games. You did have Singer 2 days ago as well, although he had to be sent back to the minors because he was the extra guy. But you saw him seemingly learn.
Yeah, 9 strikeouts.
Seemingly learn from, you know, his stay in the minor leagues. And as Mike Matheny told us yesterday, maybe handled the demotion perfectly. But hey, maybe another one of those kids is ready to be back and contributing.
I think he had a little bit of an edge, not that he normally doesn't, but you know, that's it's embarrassing when you get sent down, and most of us in this game go through it at some point. And when you do get the opportunity, it's like, okay, hey, watch this. And that coupled with the fact is he made some proper corrections and some things that he was doing, and how he's using his pitches, obviously being able to use 16, 17 changeups, he's probably never going to forget that the rest of his career. I believe it was a career-changing start. That to go with the fact that he had fastball command, that to go with the fact that he's tunneling really good with his slider. All of that led to, you know, more strikeouts than he's had, and he kept just a great pace. We talk about guys attacking the strike zone when you have really good stuff, and I thought last night was as good of an example as you could have of that.
A career-changing start. Hopefully that's the case. Hopefully you're on a trend to see more performances like that. And then, yes, the ultimate is resulting in wins. Last night was satisfying because you had the two kids contribute, and they won the game. Need definitely more of that. It's got to be about wins. I can't do moments. It's got to be moments that equate to wins. I'm tired of the moments. You know what I mean, Bink? Like we've had moments before. They have to equal W's too.
You're gonna have to stomach it though.
If you equal double W's, then I'm in. Then I'm in. But this team's doing a fantastic job of the yo-yo too.
Because it shows you the progress. Shows you the progress they're making.
They dump you out and they pull you back in.
Yeah. But you know what? I'd rather lose games with you that then turn around and show you something than losing games with, you know, veterans you bring
in. At this
in.
Point, yes.
I'd rather lose with this group.
Right. But I just didn't think that was this year.
I think this group actually helps them win.
Other ones. If you didn't see the game last night, the Royals do feel your pain. Sam Ehlinger, former writer at the Kansas City Star, who's now in the PR department for the Royals.
He's the new Swanee.
Dropped by the Drive yesterday on 610 Sports Radio and was addressing, I guess, fan concerns a little bit. And he says, yeah, they too are frustrated with the television distribution.
Yeah, it is frustrating. Like we want, and this isn't me talking, you know, Sam, this is, you know, John Sherman's talked about this. Distribution is critical. And, you know, distribution, if you take the short money version or the short money view, whatever, you want the money, right? But the long-term view, which is, I think, what this ownership group is taking is, yeah, distribution is critical. And, you know, it's a bit of a spot, right? Because Bally's is our partner and we're, you know, supportive and all those things. But, yeah, we want everybody to be able to watch our games as easily as possible, for sure.
So we'll see what that evolves to. If there's anything you can do about it, force their hand. I don't know if Bally's is just going to go, well, we're going to have this app coming out in at the end of June, and we took care of it. You said you couldn't stream. Here you go. Here you can stream. It's going to cost you, but here you go. Here's the option. Because the option was believed to be at like $20 a month. I don't know if that's going to be a huge hit or not. I feel like it's the Royals can pressure all they want. Is Bally's going to do anything about it? Is overall baseball going to do something about it? Or if they provided the option and you don't like the price, that's on you, which would be kind of unfortunate if that's what it comes down to. But I think it might be what it comes down to in June. If you want the product, it's here. You got to pay for it. If you don't like the price, we've at least made the option available.
Hey, you talk about swinging and missing. This year, the most hyped guy we've had in this town in decades, Bobby Witt Jr. going to be a Royal, and yet people can't watch him. Like, they missed the opportunity. Yeah, you can start in June, but the problem is you've got a lot of people now that have already done other things. They're used to doing other things at night. You start this at the beginning of the year. You get a free trial for a while. You get people hooked into it. Oh, they want to see Bobby Witt Jr. You don't do it, like, right now in June. Like, you do this at the beginning of the year, and you take advantage of the youth movement coming up here, and you ease people into it. Maybe that free trial for a while before you do it and you start charging it.
The Apple TV way?
But I just don't see how I just don't understand why it's so late. Like, it translates. You don't want out of sight and out of mind. I don't care what your product is. You do not want out of sight or out of mind. You want people talking about it and thinking about it all the time. That's why the NFL has schedule releases, because on every radio station in this country, they're talking about the NFL schedule. Before the schedule comes out, after the schedule comes out, you name it, you're talking about it. Like, the NFL never goes out of sight and out of mind.
Meanwhile, all the games right here on 610 Sports Radio, including today, White Sox and Royals, a 1:10 first pitch. I mean, Vern will be coming your way today, coming up at noon for the finale, the rubber game of the 5-game set with the White Sox right here on 610 Sports Radio. A big Tiger Woods bet. Well, I guess it looks good through 3 holes anyway. Next.
You're listening to Fesco in the Morning, brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, your home for car audio since 1967. Tune in every Wednesday at 9 to hear from Royals skipper Mike Matheny on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.